BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, this is a special episode of Americast, our mini-series looking at five ways that Donald Trump has changed America and the world in the last 100 days since he returned to the White House. And today we're talking about a monumental change sparked entirely by Donald Trump with huge lasting consequences for America and the global economy.
Americast.
Americast from BBC News.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again. Gonna make it wealthy, good and wealthy.
I'm Matt Jolly in the Americast studio in London.
And Justin Webb, also in the worldwide headquarters of Americast, as we call it, Matt, in London.
And I'm Sarah Smith in our BBC bureau in Washington, D.C.
So, inevitably, if we're going to talk about the economy, we'll end up talking about tariffs. But, you know, we've talked an awful lot about the impact of it around the world. But let's look at what is actually happening in the U.S. Let's hear from a real American. This is Sarah Wells, who runs a small business in Virginia making bags.
I was actually bringing over some goods from China, and in the midst of shipping those over here, the first 20% tariff hit, and I had to come up with the cash for that. I had to put up just over $15,000 to get my goods out of the port that I hadn't expected to have. At this point, it might as well be 1,000%. It's just insurmountable for small businesses. Even if the tariffs went away, say, in 2 weeks or 6 months, I'm going to have a huge gap in my inventory. I won't have product to sell, and I'll start losing sales. So all of this has a really like ecosystem effect on my business from top to bottom.
That's obviously a reminder of just what tariffs are, a tax on imports, and a reminder this is having an impact inside America rather than the global conversation that we've been having in Britain and Europe and elsewhere.
Absolutely. And Donald Trump doesn't like to acknowledge that this is going to have an impact inside America and that it's going to put prices up. He seems to think that the countries exporting the goods to America will somehow have to swallow the tariff. But of course, it's going to hurt people who are importing things from countries that have had these big tariffs put upon them. Some huge retailers like Walmart, Home Depot, and Target have been telling the White House the shelves will be empty soon with these tariffs against China because it's going to have a real impact in America and it will probably put prices up, which is going to hurt Donald Trump a lot with the people who voted for him precisely because he said he would curb inflation and bring consumer prices down again.
Justin, are they two separate thoughts from Donald Trump in terms of the economy? He wants to use tariffs to bring back old industries, make America great again and all that, while also promising to bring down the cost of living. Are they two separate thoughts, or does he think that one leads to the other?
Well, he thinks one leads to another. He thinks that if you have tariffs, that in the longer term, you bring back a load of jobs to America and a load of manufacturing to America and a load of kind of, it's more than just the jobs and the manufacturing, actually, a load of civic life, a load of things happen again in localities in America that have essentially stopped happening. You think of the Rust Belt, the kind of classic places where there used to be all these steel mills and things, now there aren't anymore. But he thinks that what the tariffs do is eventually, after a pause, after some difficulties, and he's admitted that there might be one or two difficulties, but after those difficulties, you revivify, you re-energize those parts of America that have not been vivified and energized for some time. And in that way, you then stimulate the economy locally because people have money in their pockets, because they're doing these wonderful jobs again. And that is the way in which America benefits eventually from what seems to be this incredibly strong medicine.
When trying to analyze, is this working? What are the problems with it? There is the aim, which is Donald Trump says he wants to bring back these things and make people pay if they're going to take industries away from the US. There's the aim and there's the way he's going about it and the chopping and changing and the tariffs are on, tariffs are off, we're doing this, we're doing that. And actually it's the method rather than the aim which is causing so much instability.
Yes, absolutely. And here is some of the problem with that. Before you start building new factories and, you know, moving a whole parts of your business back into America, you want to know what's going to greet you there in 2, 3, 4, 10 years' time. You need a degree of certainty before you can put that kind of investment and planning in. And the way Donald Trump is hopping around, changing the tariff regime, changing his policies, hinting one thing one day, doing something else the next, that is not an environment in which you can imagine people wanting to make multi-billion-dollar investments in revivifying American industry.
And then on top of that, it's worth adding, the kind of factories of the future aren't going to employ many people anyway. So if you're going to bring back kind of low-value, low-margin jobs to America, that's hopeless because nobody would want to do them and the money won't be
so
good
even
enough.
If you dropped a car factory in Detroit again, it's not going to employ thousands of people.
No, and in the longer term, it'll employ three people pressing a button somewhere else and it'll be entirely robotic. You know, in many respects, maybe that works for an economy in the modern era. Maybe we are going to see a lot of reshoring that goes on right around the world and specifically in America. Maybe Americans do consume a lot of the goods they make, and if they can make those goods at home and continue to make them, then that's not a bad thing for the American economy. But the idea, as Sarah points out, that suddenly there are going to be sort of thousands of wonderful jobs, these kind of classic jobs, 1970s jobs, where the man, because it always was, the man went out to work and earned enough money to come back and the whole family
did it forever.
They were able to afford it. All these things are actually classically, I mean, there's a bit of truth in it. It did happen. But that's gone. The idea that it comes back now in the modern American economy is crazy.
So if our sort of big question is he making America wealthy again? Let's hear in his own words, Donald Trump setting out his aims with this.
Jobs and factories will come roaring back into our country, and you see it happening already. We will supercharge our domestic industrial base. We will pry open foreign markets and break down foreign trade barriers. And ultimately, more production at home will mean stronger competition and lower prices for consumers. This will be indeed the golden age of America. It's coming back. We're going to come back very strongly.
Is that working? I mean, we'll put aside the plan. Right now, Americans are getting worse off, aren't they?
Number one thing, America is an incredibly wealthy country and incredibly economically successful. And you look at the graphs, all the graphs about growth in the world since COVID, and you look at the amazing way in which the American economy bounced back, there is an incredible strength and vigor about America. And all the kind of classic sort of cliches about America and Americans and their energy and vigor and all the rest of it are actually true. American economy is an incredible powerhouse and still is. But the point a lot of Americans would make is that's nothing to do with the government. That's to do with us. And actually with regulatory freedoms and all the rest of it. The government just gets out of the way. And I think what they would say now, almost certainly are saying behind the scenes, is, hang on a second, we might have expected Democratic Party governments to get in the way, administrations to get in the way a bit in the past and annoy us. We never quite saw this coming from a Republican one.
Justin's right. The American economy is thriving, but not for everybody. And so the problem that Donald Trump has identified is the right one. He's looking at communities that have been completely hollowed out and left behind by globalization, where manufacturing jobs did disappear. Donald Trump gets a lot of his support from these left behind communities that were so hurt by deindustrialization. And that's, I think, why he's so obsessed with this idea of creating a golden age of manufacturing again. It's just that that's not necessarily what the future for the American economy should be or what he's going to create. But he's not wrong in identifying that there are whole swathes of the Rust Belt, for instance, where the economy is not working for ordinary Americans.
And it's that, you know, every political cliche, it's the economy, stupid. You know, it's the cost of living. It's the, you know, the question, do you feel better now than you did 4 years ago? All of those questions play into it. And you saw it during the election campaign. When I was in the US for a week, all the people we spoke to were talking about the cost of living and the price of eggs. And yet you look at, when you're talking about putting tariffs on imports, 60% of fresh fruit in the US is imported, 30% of fresh vegetables, 70% of toys are imported. So if you're putting those tariffs on, it's going to have the opposite impact, isn't it?
Yeah, wait for Christmas. I can imagine you go down to Walmart or somewhere, and the shelves will be either empty or weirdly expensive to an extent that people won't buy the stuff.
But he will never admit that prices going up are his fault. He'll say there are other things. So, Sarah, how does the politics of this play out? How are the Democrats pinning or not pinning this on Donald Trump, making that connection in the minds of voters that his decisions are connected to the prices you see in grocery stores?
Not particularly effectively, because they don't have much of an audience at the moment, to be perfectly honest. But Donald Trump is talking about his tariffs daily, whether it's because he's changing the policy or whether he's boasting that they're going to work. So if we do see prices going up significantly, it's going to be very easy for voters to connect that to what the policy that's been coming from the White House. Somebody like that small businesswoman we heard from at the beginning, Sarah Wells, making bags in Virginia, she's very clear about why her cost of buying the stuff she needs to make her bags has gone through the roof. And there's another constituency, for instance, farmers. Big, big, big supporters of Donald Trump right through the heartland. One of their biggest exports is soybeans, over half of which goes to China. Now, they've put on reciprocal tariffs, of course, so there are over 100% tariffs now on soybeans going into China. They're not going to be able to sell all of this year's crop. They will understand very well exactly why that is. And that is a key bit of Donald Trump's constituency, who are very quickly going to feel the effects of this.
So let's look ahead then. I was going to say look ahead 100 days, but looking ahead 100 minutes is a bit unpredictable. In the sort of medium to longer term, Justin, globalisation, as we've known it for the what, past 10, 20, 30, 40 years, is that dead? Has he nailed the coffin on that?
No, I don't think it is dead. And I don't think any serious economist thinks it's dead. And I don't think they think that with the modern economy the way it is, it would be possible for it to be dead for two reasons. Number one, a lot of the global economy is run in services. And Donald Trump's tariffs don't affect services. But I do think that the kind of wider, the idea of globalization in goods suddenly coming to an end and everyone doing all the tasks that at the moment they outsource basically to Vietnam and to other places that are on the up and that can do these jobs and pay people very little money to do these jobs. The idea that that suddenly changes and all these jobs are done in the Western world, I think, it, again, is inconceivable. So I think, I don't know what Sarah's view is, I think in the end, the globalists, as it were, will win, because it seems to me they're talking about the reality of the modern economy. And as Sarah was suggesting, Donald Trump is talking about something that really fizzled out in the 50s.
Although because Donald Trump is talking about two entirely contradictory aims, about doing trade deals with countries all over the world that will actually lower trade barriers, and he's also talking about having high tariff barriers that would attract manufacturing back to the US. Depending on which way we end up, either with a slew of trade deals or with high tariffs, he can claim victory, because if he's saying, you know, these two things are what he's after, if he gets one of them, then he'll just say job done.
Yeah, and the ability of Donald Trump to claim victory should not be underestimated on any subject, including those subjects where the people who backed him seem to be suffering a little bit from what's actually happened under him. And I mean, I think the really interesting thing about the economy, we keep saying the economy matters, and it does absolutely matter. Does it matter quite as much with this president and this man's politics as it has with previous presidents? I guess we're about to find out.
Which is a good place to end this conversation, see how it pans out over the next 100 days and beyond. You can listen to the whole of our series looking at Donald Trump's first 100 days on BBC Sounds or wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search for Americast to find all the episodes. Thanks for listening. See you all later.
Bye.
Bye.